Talk, entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
When the Super Bowl ended, the ball would be in the hands of Tom Brady.
I don't know why we ever think it won't.
It's time for the home team. The home team is brought to you in part by Grace Family Church. Just try it. By Tampa Bay Area Chick-fil-A Restaurants. By Vermost Insurance. By Mahoney's Auto Repair. By the Palm Pavilion on Clearwater Beach. By Irish 31, the place to catch your favorite team in action. By Iceman Development, LLC. And now, here he is, the arena voice of the Tampa Bay Lightning and Orlando Magic, and the press box voice of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Paul Porter.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the home team on a playoff Saturday. Yes, it is a busy day for yours truly, and probably for you as well, as you try and navigate through a 1 o'clock Magic game and a 5 o'clock Lightning game. And Jason, you were looking at Twitter and saw that the fans are concerned as to which game I'm going to be at.
Yeah, you were showing me that. That was it. That was funny. I like the guy who calls for the Orlando Magic Guru. He had some great comments, I thought. And I love the name there.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I am doing the Lightning game tonight at 5 o'clock. It was just too difficult to try and do both, with the Magic playing at 1 o'clock and probably playing until 3:30, quarter to 4.
Right.
Just wouldn't work. So I'll be at the Lightning game tonight. Was at the Magic game on Thursday night for their 38-point victory over the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Well, you had a much better time there than you would have at the Lightning game. That was impressive, though. Yeah, almost 40-point win for Orlando. Big-time bounce back there.
They were actually up by 40, and they put the reserves in, and it ended up a 38-point win. But as many have said so accurately, it's one game, and they're still behind 2-1 in the series.
Yep.
And if they can win today, that would guarantee a Game 6 back in Orlando on Friday night. But that's a big if to come out and beat the Cavaliers again today. We'll see what happens. As for the Lightning, they're on life support. They've got to win today or the season is over. And hopefully they'll be able to get it done. I like the comments from John Cooper after Game 3. He said, "Anyone who believes will show up for practice tomorrow. If you don't believe, then don't show up." And, of course, everyone's going to be there. There's not going to be anyone that's going to miss practice and say, "Hey, I don't believe." But he's kind of calling them out, calling his team out.
You know, you can look at it this way. First of all, it's not over till it's over. You have to win 4 games to win a series, not 3.
Mm-hmm.
So until the Panthers get that 4th win, the series is not over. The Lightning have to look at it, I think, as one game at a time at this point. You can't have the mindset, "Oh, now we're down 0-3. We got to win 4 straight." No.
It's almost one period at a time.
Exactly. But basically, you have to win a game, this next game. That's it. Nothing else. Nothing else matters. Nothing else at all. It's this game. If you win it, then you can focus all your energy on the next game after that, but and go forward just like that, one game at a time. I think that the Panthers, what they've shown through the first 3 games, is they're the better team. They've made the games have been close. They've all been competitive. It's not like the Lightning have played terrible. The Panthers have made more key plays at key moments of the game to make the difference, and that's normally what the better teams will do. They were in the Stanley Cup Finals last year. This year they've had the better regular season than the Lightning, so they appear to be the better team. But you know that they're going to try to close out the Lightning today because they know the Lightning's championship pedigree. The Lightning have been there. They've done that. They've won championships.
Don't want to leave the door open if you're the Panthers.
Absolutely not, especially not to a team like this, because if any team, it's highly unlikely that the Lightning will come back and win this series, but if there's a team that could do it, it would be the Lightning, given that the players that they have you know, the core of those championship teams is basically still there. Nikita Kucherov has to show up, though. He's been, I think, probably the biggest disappointment for the team thus far.
Well, what the Panthers have done is taken him out of the equation by having two guys on him at all times, and basically they're daring the Lightning, somebody else, to beat them other than Nikita Kucherov.
Right.
And by the way, three different teams have come back from an 0-3 deficit to win the series.
Yes.
The most recent being in 2014. So it's been 10 years since it was done, but it has been done on three different occasions.
Yeah, it's happened more in the NHL than the other sports involving series. Of course, it doesn't happen very often. It's very unlikely. But again, momentum can be very funny. And sometimes all it takes is one game to start to turn things. If the Lightning can manage to win today, they stay alive. If they were to then take a game in at Florida at Sunrise, then you start to make it interesting, because two wins in a row, you've got the momentum, and then the Panthers would start to feel some of the pressures, like, uh-oh, wait a minute, this is getting interesting.
It would send it back to game six in Tampa.
Exactly. That's why, I think the Panthers are going to try all they can to finish the Lightning off tonight. And if the Lightning can hold serve, if they can come back and win tonight, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. It'll be a lot of fun at Amalie Arena today. A 5 o'clock puck drop, and my understanding is that there's a whole lot going on in downtown Tampa today, and parking is going to be at a premium. So if you are going to the game today, or if you're one of the thousands that'll be out on the plaza watching the game on the big screen, give yourself plenty of time. I do want to mention that if you don't have a ticket for the game today, you are able to, for $5, to buy a ticket that goes to the Lightning Foundation, and you can actually watch the game on the Thunder Alley.
Right.
Outside of the arena. So that's available for those that don't have a ticket. Also, I want to get your thoughts on the Buccaneers and the draft. They I thought, made a good choice, Jason, when they took a center in the first pick. They seem to have had a hard time keeping people healthy at that position, and that's certainly a place where they could use some depth.
Well, I like the pick, too. Graham Barton out of Duke. He's played center. He's also played tackle along the line. He's versatile. He can play various positions on the offensive line. And offensive line is one of those areas, it seems like... you can never have enough good offensive linemen. That's ultimately where so many of the games, especially the championship games, are won, in the trenches. You know, the offensive line, it you protect the quarterback, you open up lanes for the running backs. It's key. It's incredibly important. And Graham Barton is showing highlights, talking about him, hearing some of the analysts. He's got he's a strong guy. He plays kind of with an edge, a little bit of a nastiness there.
That's exactly what you need.
And so I think that's a great addition. And then with the second pick, you're getting Chris Braswell, an outside linebacker from Alabama. Another area, you lost Shaq Barrett and Devin White, so that was a little bit of an area of need. And if he comes from Alabama, you know he's good. I mean, on the defensive side there.
Want to say hello to John and Don, and also to Linda watching on Facebook Live. Number of people checking in and letting us know that they are there, and we're always glad to have a good audience on Facebook Live. In fact, we have all the kinks apparently worked out from last week where we were audio-less, but good to be back and everything running normally. The Rubber Cement Man and Henry and DJ Bolt all watching today on Facebook Live, and we appreciate you being here as well. Want to get to our contest today. You've all heard the contest, the term Mr. Irrelevant. And basically, that is the last player chosen in the last round of the NFL draft. Some have gone on to actually play in the NFL. But Mr. Irrelevant, we're doing a contest today for the Bucks, Mr. Irrelevant. And what that means is, who will be the last player chosen by the Bucks in the draft today? I don't even know how many picks they have left, Jason. Mm-hmm. Maybe
we can research
that.
They picked four players thus far.
Right.
Yeah, so the Bucks have four picks already. They've had one in the first, one in the second, two third-round picks. They have three picks left. 125th overall in the fourth round, 220 in the sixth round, and their final pick, the Mr. Irrelevant, is going to be pick number 246 in the seventh round.
All right, so what we're asking for the contest today, we're not going to ask who they're going to pick, because that's like looking for a needle in a haystack. Mm-hmm. We're going to ask you, what position will Mr. Irrelevant play? Will it be an offensive lineman, a tackle, a guard, a center? Will it be a defensive tackle, an edge rusher? Will it be a linebacker, a cornerback, a wide receiver, a punter, a kicker, a quarterback even? Mm-hmm. What position will the Mr. Irrelevant for the Buccaneers play? The last pick, which is what again, Matt?
It's in the seventh round. It's pick 246, 246 overall.
Okay. And that's assuming they don't make a trade. If they make a trade, that could change. Mm-hmm. But who will be the Buccaneers' selection? What position will he play with the 246th pick of the NFL draft? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers select who? But again, not asking who the player will be, but what position will he play? Mm-hmm. Want to also mention that the Rays last night, boy, just a rough night, cold in Chicago,
yeah. Well,
and losing to a team that had only won three games.
Yeah, exactly.
All year.
That's the thing. I mean, when I looked at that series and I saw that the White Sox entered that game with a 3-22 record, the first thing that comes to my mind is, okay, this is a great opportunity for the Rays to get their first sweep of the season, mm-hmm. and then to lose the game one of that series, very disappointing. Now, at the very least, they've got to come back and at least win the next two to win the series. But this was the kind of series you'd hope that they could win all three games, going against a team that really has gone off to a terrible start like the White Sox.
By the way, we've already had people enter the contest on Facebook Live. A cornerback is what John thinks. The rubber cement man is saying it'll be a linebacker. So those are two positions that have been chosen. But if you want to enter the contest, you can do it on Facebook Live by just putting in what you think they'll be picking. Cornerback and linebacker mm-hmm. have already been chosen as far as the first two picks. Some other things we want to get to, and we will get to as we move along, but next Saturday we are having our Mother's Day contest. It's the Saturday before the Saturday before Mother's Day. We're doing that so that we can get the prizes out to the winners in time for them to enjoy, which is going to be lunch or dinner for two at the Palm Pavilion on Clearwater Beach. So that's going out to three different moms next Saturday. Now, here's how to enter the contest. It's very simple. You dial next Saturday, 727-441-3000, and join us on the air, and we'll talk to you a little bit about Mother's Day and your kids, and maybe you're a young mom, maybe you're an older mom that has grown adult kids or whatever. We'll talk about that next Saturday, and you do have to call in, and then we will judge from the people that call in who gets the certificates to go to the Palm Pavilion on Clearwater Beach, and you'll have them in time to go on Mother's Day if you like. So that's how our Mother's Day contest will go. We're going to take a break, and then we would like to hear from you. Join us on the phone line. 727-441-3000. 727-441-3000. I want to say hello to Scott, who is listening and watching this morning with the Original Mattress Factory. I had a chance to meet with him yesterday. Scott, who also is the green hat for the Buccaneers at the games. That's the guy that does the timeouts. It steps out onto the field
All
and
right.
signals to the referee when there's a media timeout, and also when they can resume play. Had a meeting with him. So welcome, Scott. Glad to have you with us. I watched watching us here today. We'll take a break. Do want to mention Rock Riley will join us at 9:45 this morning, and then Ben Smith will join us at 10:15. So stay right there. We've got an hour and 40 minutes to chat with you on a busy playoff Saturday. Both the Lightning and Magic in action today, the Buccaneers in the draft, and the Rays are playing tonight as well. So a busy sports day.
Yes, it is.
More of the home team coming up on the Tan Talk Radio Network, AM 1340 and 1350, FM 106.1, 102.3, and Facebook
Live.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
When you talk about ice rink development in West Central Florida, one name stands alone: Iceman Development, LLC. Gordy Zimmerman, president and founder of Iceman Development, has played an integral part in the construction of the Ice Sports Forum in Brandon, the training home of the three-time Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning, and the Advent Health Center Ice Complex, a multi-million dollar facility boasting 150,000 square feet and ranked the top indoor ice rink facility by both the USA Today and Yelp. Iceman Development is currently involved in creating yet another outstanding ice rink facility in Trinity in Pasco County. Iceman's company mission is to build community projects that impact the area both in quality of life and economic growth. For more information, visit IcemanDevelopment.com. That's Iceman with two N's, development.com.
Folks, let me tell you about a gem of a restaurant in Carrollwood. It's Hank's Place, where you'll find some of the best barbecue, catfish, wings, sausage, gator, shrimp, and a whole lot more. Their meats are dry rubbed and slowly smoked. All of your favorite sides, too, from baked beans to collard greens to mac and cheese to onion rings. Are you hungry yet? Discover why Hank's Place at 8546 Northdale Mayberry, just 100 yards north of Waters Avenue, is a place that locals have known about for years. Hey, would a guy like me lie to you about food? Hank's Place, a place to hang your hat and lick your fingers.
Whether it's a car accident, storm damage, or a fire, when the unthinkable happens, it doesn't matter if you save money in 15 minutes. In this moment, it doesn't matter if your neighbor has the same insurance you do. In this moment, what matters is that your independent insurance agent and the company that stands behind them have you covered. Auto Owners Insurance, the no-problem people. Visit Vermost Insurance in Tampa Bay today at vermost.com.
Hundreds of sets of gently used golf clubs is what you'll find at T&D Golf Stores. Conveniently located at 4205 West Waters Avenue, half a mile west of Dale Mabry, T&D has the best repair facility with the largest selection of grips in stock. You'll find a wide variety of new and used golf balls, shoes, gloves, and accessories. Family owned and operated, check them out on the web at tndgolfstores.com. Open Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Seeking intellectual delight? Tune in every Saturday at 2 p.m. on WTAN 1340 a.m. for Legal Candy with attorney Candace Colucci. Candace delves into property insurance, law, and other hot legal topics. Don't miss Legal Candy on WTAN 1340 a.m. Unwrap the law one bite at a time. Now you can get that delicious Vienna all-beef hot dog in Pinellas County at Daddy Dog's on the southeast corner of McMullen Booth Road and State Route 580 in Safety Harbor. They feature 10 different types of hot dogs with over 25 different toppings. Hershey's ice cream, too. Now you don't have to drive to Tampa to get the best hot dog there is. Check out their menu at daddydogs.com. That's daddy, DAWGS.com. Family owned and operated. Daddydogs.com.
Life Builders Christian Counseling Center brings hurting people to wholeness in Christ. Life Builders is a professional counseling center with multiple counselors and locations in Brandon and Tampa. They offer in-person Zoom and group sessions, counseling individuals, married couples, children and adolescents, and families. Some of our licensed counselors take most insurances. Call 813-438-5949 or visit lifebuilderscounseling.org. Life Builders can help. 813-438-5949 and at lifebuilderscounseling.org.
The best entertainment deal for a dollar in Tampa Bay is back with the return of Clearwater Threshers Dollar Tuesdays to BayCare Ballpark. Enjoy the fun and excitement of minor league baseball with $1 burn tickets, hot dogs, sodas, and more. Every homestand this summer starts with a Dollar Tuesday featuring admission and select concession items for just $1. Visit ThreshersBaseball.com, then visit BayCare Ballpark in Clearwater for Dollar Tuesdays presented by Top Notch Pest Control.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Welcome back to the home team, and it was kind of a rough week this week for broadcasters. Donald Sterling, the longtime voice, radio voice.
Donald Sterling, he was the one, the controversial owner of the Clippers who ended in pretty badly there.
But all out of whack now, Jason. John Sterling, the longtime radio broadcaster of the New York Yankees, retired, effective immediately. And also, Wally Harris, a longtime NHL referee, passed away this past week. And then a great broadcaster, Matt, north of the border, left us as well.
Yes, he did. Bob Cole, the legendary announcer from CBC and Hockey Night in Canada, passed away at the age of 90.
I remember, actually, when I was a child, we lived in Cleveland, Ohio, and we were right across the lake from a television station in London. It was Channel 10 in London, Ontario. Mm-hmm. And on good nights, on Saturday nights, I could get Hockey Night in Canada on the TV. Mm-hmm. It would come right across the lake.
Right.
Had a lot of snow in it. This was back before cable, and you used an antenna to try and get as better
rabbit
signal
ears,
as you could.
Right.
The rabbit ears. And if I turned them just right, get it just to the right position, I could vaguely make out hockey players, and I got the audio. And I remember hearing Cole broadcast a game back then, back when I was a kid. By the way, I want to mention we've got the entries in the contest. John has selected a cornerback, the rubber cement man, a linebacker, and Donald has selected a safety that will be the Buccaneers' pick with number 246 in the NFL draft. Let's go to the phone lines and get things cooking on the phones. We've got, Donald joining us next. Hello, Donald. You're on the home team.
Wow, that was quick. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. How about that? We saw you there and didn't want to keep you waiting.
There you go. I'm just sitting at my kitchen table. Liz is working and just watching you guys on Facebook. No fishing today. The weather is really windy out there. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful out there when I called you from the water. It was just such a nice day out there.
Absolutely, yes.
It was a gorgeous evening, a nice breeze, and we're not going to get a whole lot more of that, so enjoy it while it's here.
Yeah, summer's coming.
We move into May next week.
Right.
So. Absolutely. And Sunday, May 12th, Mother's Day, is also Liz's birthday, so it's as we call it, High Holy Day.
Okay, all right. Well, if she's around next Saturday, make sure she calls in.
Well, she can't because she works on Saturday.
Okay. Well, no imitations. You can't call in and imitate her, Donald.
No, I'm not going
to do that. No, this is Liz. I don't know.
You were saying, you mentioned on Facebook Live that you had 7 channels growing up. That was it, huh? Yeah.
That was it. Out on Eastern Long Island, we had 7 channels. And we had one TV. And, of course, I had older sisters who were 7 years older than me and 6 years older. So I had no say in what was watching except Saturday morning because my sisters would sleep in. So I was able to watch cartoons on Saturday morning and stuff. And then also after night when they went to bed, I would stay up and watch wrestling. I love wrestling. I watch it every now and then.
Me too. When I was a kid, I loved wrestling as well.
You know, before cable jumped in and there's games on every night of the week now, it was really a special thing. Like, I remember growing up watching the Cleveland Indians, and they were on Saturday afternoon. They would televise the Saturday afternoon game. And that was it for the week. Or you might get the NBC game of the week on Saturday afternoon. But now it's just almost
24/7. Yeah, you have so many choices. I mean, you had ABC's Wide World of Sports, of course. I mean, initially, in the early days of TV, I mean, you had basically three channels. I think it was you have CBS, ABC, and NBC, the three main broadcasting companies, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
Before they start expanding a little bit, so yeah, basically you got what you, you know, you got what you got, but obviously at the time, all I think you know with TV that was a norm and that was considered special, and whatever was on, it was kind of a privilege to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know what I miss? They used to have the show called This Week in Baseball. I called it TWIB.
Mm-hmm.
This Week in Baseball. That was a great show.
Yeah,
you know that was so many years ago. I'm sure you know somebody remembers that.
But, oh yeah. I always remember Bob McKay, or Jim McKay, rather, saying, spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sports. I actually haven't memorized. You know,
the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat.
Right.
And the agony of defeat, they showed the skier crashing down the slope in brutal fashion.
Yeah.
That's it. You got it.
Yeah. This is ABC's Wide World of Sports.
How did the Rays lose to a 22 losing team?
Good question.
I'm glad you brought that up, Donald, because Mario on Facebook Live said he can't believe the Rays are just 1-8 in 9 series opening games. And one of the bigger issues plaguing the Bolts was that they just had trouble getting the puck out of their zone, which led to either most of the Panthers' goals or penalties. That's very true.
As far as the Rays, you know, look, 13-14, the record is not terrible. Right around 500, you know, is okay. You stay there. I mean, at least if they can win the next two, which hopefully they will, they would be one game above 500. The problem, though, is you just wonder how long they can hold up with these injuries. And apparently Yandy Diaz left the game last night with what could look bad as a broken pinky or something. He got hit by a pitch. So you add that to already the problems with the injuries to the pitching staff and others, and that's rough. I mean, And it's a competitive division. I mean, all the teams are pretty good. Have gotten off to strong starts. You know, between the Orioles, the Yankees, Red Sox, and Blue Jays, and of course the Rays trying to keep pace with them. It's not going to be easy if they keep getting guys injured.
It was like 40 degrees in Chicago last night. Picture this if you can, Jason. 40 degrees, and getting hit on the pinky with a 98-mile-an-hour fastball that hit the pinky right against the bat, the bat handle.
Not pleasant.
Oh, man.
No, thank you.
That was just crucial to hear that. And, Yandy Diaz left the game. And if it's a broken finger, you don't know how long he'll be out.
Right.
We'll see what happens.
I just saw your post about the radio in the bedroom by your ear. I used to have the same thing. I remember listening to games when, you know, because I couldn't watch them on TV. I'd have a radio. I would listen to all the games. I enjoy, even now, I'll listen to the Rays games on radio because I don't have cable, so I don't have Bally, and it's unfortunate that we don't get to see, you know, our local games. But I put them on the radio, and I do listen to them. And I really enjoy it because you can have it in your head, like you can picture what's going on. And we have some great announcers.
One of the things I used to do as a child back when I was in, I think it was junior high school, is I had a radio in my front shirt pocket with an earphone that ran up my sleeve, and I wore a sweater over that, and I would just sit in class.
In class, listen to the games. Yeah.
And listen to the game, particularly the World Series when it was the afternoon games and that.
Just hope that the teacher doesn't ask you a question or call you in a question.
But that's what you had to be careful about.
I listened when they had the blackout rule in the NFL, and in many of the Bucks games, if they didn't sell out 48 hours before, they wouldn't show them locally. And so I would, in some of the games I didn't go to, I would listen on the radio. And sometimes I'd have the other current NFL game on TV with it muted, and be listening intently to the Bucks games. And and I remember being just as excited listening on the radio when there was a big play for the Bucks as I would be if I was just watching it or at the game itself. So
was that before Gene Deckerhoff, or was Gene doing
Gene Deckerhoff was there at the time when I first started listening. Yeah, he was there. You know, it's kind of funny. I think just before him, Jesse Ventura. I mean, talking about wrestling, Jesse Ventura did Bucks radio.
Really?
For a go to like a year or two. Yeah.
I did not know that. Yeah,
yes, he did.
Fan.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and well, we'll see what happens. Donald, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Go bold.
Do you give him any chance today?
I do. I mean, they still play a game. I mean, they're still a good team. Hopefully that it's not going to be in their head. You know, you got to think of it. Okay, this is game one of a four-game series. That's what the mentality has to be.
Yeah.
This is game one of a four-game series.
It ain't over till the fat lady sings.
That's for sure. And Sonia Bryson Kirksey is not a fat lady, although she will be singing tonight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's not a fat lady, so that doesn't count.
No.
Yeah. By the way, Mario is reporting that Apple TV is saying that the finger is not broken on Yandy Diaz and that it is day-to-day.
Okay.
So it's
probably
very
news.
Sore, but not broken.
Yeah.
So thank you, Mario, for that. We appreciate it. Donald, thank you. We appreciate you joining us. All right.
Actually, you guys take care. Have a safe week.
Thank you. You too, Donald.
All right. Let's continue on the phone lines and talk with Anthony next. Hello, Anthony. You're on the home team.
Hey, good Saturday to you guys.
Same to you as well.
You know, for a small gathering of Panther fans, they definitely left out of that arena speaking volumes in comparison to the large horde of Lightning fans that showed up. And, yeah, I mean, they made some noise. I'm talking about the Lightning fans, but there was a group of fans that went down to Sunrise several years ago, and they took it upon themselves to kind of showcase their eliteness and by stepping on the Panthers' home ice. And to me, as a hockey fan, that's a no-no, man. That's like trying to light a fire under a certain fan base, a certain team. And lo and behold, through the years, the Panthers have been coming into the playoffs, and they've been taking on the attitude of the Brewers and the Carolina Hurricanes. You can't discount those guys. They've learned a lot from those encounters with the Brewers and other Northeastern teams, and they've showcased it on Thursday. The Lightning need to come out putting some bodies on other guys. They need to start checking. They need to start getting some aggressiveness. I heard Chief say it doesn't show some anger. You know, put some anger forth. I mean, we're playing finesse hockey.
Well,
we need to go back to the years prior to when Coach Cooper came in, and the team was playing finesse hockey. And then obviously they learned from the school of hard knocks, start putting some bodies on and aggressiveness on the ice. Go ahead, Jason.
Well, yeah, no, I was going to say at the beginning of the game of Game Three, you could definitely tell the Florida came out with an intensity, and the Lightning were not into it. And even it showed Cooper on the bench; he was not happy with the way they started that game. I know they rebounded in the beginning of the second period and took the lead, but I think the Panthers kind of when it came out and set the tone. And there's also the other thing we talked about: shooting the puck and trying not to get all these perfect passes. Someone made the comment trying to play tic-tac-toe, getting the perfect pass here and there. You got to shoot the puck. You shoot the puck, you get a deflection, a rebound. Someone else's stick redirects the puck. That's how you get the goals. You're just not going to be able to get it through a good team like the Panthers and get the perfect setup, the perfect pass to get a clean goal. It's not going to happen.
And if you'll pardon me, I would like to get up on my soapbox for a moment here. I am sick and tired of the challenges in the NHL of offside that happened a minute and a half before the goal was actually scored.
Yeah.
And that so much play had happened in between.
Right.
It's not as though someone was offside and scored immediately.
Yes.
I think you should not be able to challenge unless it had a direct impact on the goal.
Well, and I don't understand why they even implemented that rule. What the thinking was there?
Well, if a play is offsides, then it should have been blown dead at the time it happened.
I understand that, but they didn't used to be able. You didn't used to be able to challenge that. What made them think that by challenging it, that would make the game better? That's my question.
Yeah, it doesn't make the game better.
No.
To answer your question, but the thinking was that they had to have it right, and if there was an offsides play, you have to go back to where the offsides occurred, reset the clock, and resume the game.
But again, when it doesn't really impact the goal,
right?
That's where it doesn't make sense to me at all.
That's my point. That if it doesn't have a direct impact on the goal being scored, for example, the guy that was offsides gets a pass and shoots it and it goes in, that should be disallowed. Mm-hmm. But if it happened a minute and a half and the entry into the zone was offsides,
yeah. So what?
Yeah, I can't see that.
Allow me to vent on three fronts. First, two concerning the officiating. And Toronto, how long does it take to come to a decision? You guys have high-tech visuals, and it takes you over 10 minutes to make a decision, and it always comes out against us. And that's one of my beefs. Second, we have four striped guys on the ice, and you're telling me they can't focus on a penalty that the Panthers put on our guys? That's bogus, man. And third, and this is my main beef, you know, I'm going back to 2009. Phil Esposito, and I believe it was the final game of the regular season against, the Senators, he went on the air and said, where are all our fans? I remember back then I would see some Lightning fans sitting in the midst of Bruins fans and Red Wings fans. Where all of a sudden did this fan club come out of? I know they're being called out and named all left and right by certain personalities, but where were they back then? All of a sudden they show up and they're beating the drums, and it's like there's this exclusive fan club. Back then we had guys, fans, sitting around different areas of the arena having to support the team alone. Mm-hmm. So, you know, don't give me this elitist fan club whatever. It's just, you know, the fans of respect. I'm going back way back I'm going back to 96 when teams from the opposite team fans were coming into our arena and overtaking it. I would see guys wearing their Lightning jerseys surrounded by opponents' fans, and they stood up. Those are the guys I give respect to. And again, if you
I think he might have wiped out his battery there.
You know, first show me your Lightning history before you start saying these other fans' teams suck. So, I'm gonna Lightning guys go out and put a blister on the Panthers, man. That's all I want.
Let's hope so.
All right. Do you want to enter the contest, Anthony, as to what position the Bucks will select last?
I'm gonna go tackle. We need tackle. Need tackle.
All right, we got you down. Thank you,
right,
Anthony. And
so
by
much.
The way, thank you
Thanks,
for your
Andy.
Donation to Reach Out.
Hey,
Speak
it's
out.
A pleasure, bro. You're the ladies, and you are an encouragement by having that ministry. So, it's my pleasure, man. Thank God you guys are there. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we appreciate that. And also want to thank another gentleman who donated this past week. We certainly appreciate that as well. Fred was the other gentleman who donated. So thank you, Fred. We need to hit a break, and then Rock Riley will join us on the other side of the break. Stay right where you're at. Join us on the phone line, 727-441-3000. Mario says the magic number of goals allowed from Vasi is 2. If he doesn't allow more than 2 goals, the Lightning stand a chance at winning the game today.
Good
so
point.
That's where he's at. More of the home team coming up on the Tan Talk Radio Network, AM 1340 and 1350, FM 106.1, 102.3, and of course on Facebook
Live.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
There's no place like this place, anywhere near this place, so this must be the place. That's what they've been saying about the Palm Pavilion since 1926. The Palm Pavilion on the north end of the sparkling beach is a Clearwater Beach landmark. Situated directly on the beach, overlooking the Gulf of Mexico, the Palm Pavilion is the place to order cool tropical drinks and watch spectacular sunsets. Tempt your taste buds with perfect pasta, sizzling steaks, chicken or seafood wraps, shrimp and crab chowder. Come for a day or stay for the night. A casual atmosphere featuring live entertainment on the deck. The Palm Pavilion Inn and Beachside Grill and Bar on sparkling Clearwater Beach. Visit them on the web at palmpavilion.com, or better yet, visit in person, 10 Bay Esplanade on the north end of Clearwater Beach. The Palm Pavilion Inn and Beachside Grill.
We're talking with Pastor Chris Bonham, the senior executive executive pastor at Grace Family Church, and it's been around for a while, Pastor Chris. What do you attribute the longevity to?
We've been around for 27 years, and our senior pastor, Craig Altman, always has had the value of being real, being genuine, and I think that's really been the key to our longevity. The message hasn't changed. We're always going to be Bible-based, Bible-centered, but our genuineness allows us, as we've grown, to show we're not perfect. We're not always going to do everything right, and that allows us to be real, and I think when people see that, that's very inviting to them to realize they don't have to just be perfect as well. They can come just like they are, and God can meet them right where they're at.
You'll find services on both Saturday and Sunday at Grace Family Church, so check it out.
Grace Family Church, now with 8 locations, the newest at State Route 54 and Suncoast Parkway.
This is Paul Porter. For the past 12 years, we've not endorsed an air conditioning company on the home team. Until now. I'm happy to tell you about the family-owned and operated air conditioning company, Action Air Conditioning. David Russell and his family run their business with 3 principles in mind: honesty, integrity, and reliability. They've been in business since 1988. They service the entire home team listing area. From service to AC checkups to a whole new system, Action Air Conditioning is the AC company for you. Why do I speak so highly of Action Air Conditioning? I've used them many times at multiple properties, and I've been completely satisfied every time. Visit them on the web at actionairconditioning.com. That's actionairconditioning.com. Or you can call them at 813-935-6644. If you're in need of an air conditioning company, take it from me. Action Air is your company. 813-935-6644. 813-935-6644. actionairconditioning.com.
This is Paul Porter. 10 years ago, my wife and I started a nonprofit ministry to help victims of domestic violence called Reach Out, Speak Out. I'm asking you, my loyal listeners, to consider a donation to help our ministry. If you'd like to join our auxiliary board or just be a friend to Reach Out, Speak Out by helping with your time, talents, or treasures whenever you're available, please contact us by visiting reachoutspeakout.org. Please send your donation to Post Office Box 4979, Tampa, Florida, 33677. That's Reach Out, Speak Out, Post Office Box 4979, Tampa, Florida, 33677. 501c3 number 47163-0804. No gift is too large or small, and all gifts are tax deductible. Thank you in advance for your help, and I hope you'll join us making a difference in our community. If you're anywhere in the Safety Harbor Clearwater area, you have to try Daddy Dogs. They feature the Vienna All Beef Hot Dogs with the casings that snap when you bite them, as well as Italian beef, Hershey's ice cream too. Check out their menu at daddydogs.com. That's Daddy, DAWGS.com. Family owned and operated on the southeast corner of McMullen Booth and State Route 580 in Safety Harbor. Vienna All Beef Hot Dogs, now in Pinellas at Daddy Dogs in Safety Harbor. Try it. You'll thank me later.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
And welcome back to the home team. By the way, Jason, I want to see if you know this one. You know a lot about sports, but I want to see if you know the answer to this, okay? Do you know the difference between a hippo and a Zippo?
Oh, here we go. No, you enlighten me.
Well, the hippo is very, very heavy, but the Zippo is a little lighter.
Mm-hmm. So. I figure they're coming. Like I say, I added to the monster with that book.
I love that one. And you know, now that Mario has reported that Yandy Diaz doesn't have a broken finger, I can actually say this one too. Guy was saying that he broke his finger, but on the other hand, he's okay. There you go.
No comment.
Let's go to the phone lines. Rock Riley's going to rescue us from all of this. Hello, Rock. Welcome to the home team.
Good morning. You know what? You're trying to lift everybody up with the Rays losing and the Lightning on the verge of elimination. I like it. Way to go, guys. Good morning.
Well, we're trying to do our best here, and it's going to be a fun afternoon and evening, early evening at the Lightning game tonight, so hopefully they'll be able to keep their season going. What do you think, Rock? Do they have much of a shot tonight?
Yeah, it's very hard. You know what I was thinking, Paul and Jason? I was thinking, could they actually be able to win 2 games in a row to get another game back at Amalie Arena? Mm-hmm. And I don't even know if they could do that. So, you know, you got to be realistic. It's been an incredible run. It isn't like the Panthers are a juggernaut. I didn't think going in that the Tampa Bay Lightning matched up good against the Florida Panthers, you know, and this might be the Panthers' time. Cooper said the other night, it isn't like they're getting blown out.
Right.
But it's like they're just not able to take advantage of opportunities. They can't get the puck out. It's the little things, and that's where we're at.
Yeah, and I think that shows that the Panthers right now are the better team. But I also think that the, you know, Florida, they're going to try to close the Lightning out because they realize they leave that door open. The Lightning, they've been there, they've done that, they've won championships. And you're right, Rocky. I think the key is if the Lightning do manage to win tonight, if they could win, take a game over in Sunrise, now they've got the momentum and it brings the series back to Tampa for another game.
And they'd be in the Panthers' heads too.
Right. Exactly. Well, that's when you start. Is if you're the team that had the lead, you start to get a little nervous and mm-hmm. say, "Okay, it's now slipping away. We didn't want this to happen." So that's where I think the Panthers are going to try to close them out. But Lightning, you gotta find it. They gotta stay alive here. You never know.
Yeah, you never know. No, you know what? You never know. It's a great experience being there. The fans did their job. You know, Paul, you were missed. You were doing the Magic game, I'm assuming.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, you were missed, but I will tell you this, being the fans were great, and the atmosphere pregame, and with Titus O'Neil's thing on the Jumbotron, and then, you know, in the second period, look, there's an example. The Lightning were flying around. They had the momentum. They looked unstoppable, and then, boom, the Islanders scored. Islanders scored another one, and then it's deflated, and then there you go. So, I'm more realistic. I think it's been a great, great run, but I'll try to be as optimistic as you guys.
Yep, there you go. And I've said this before, the salary cap has taken its hit every year. That's what it's designed to do, and it's designed to create parity and make the better teams worse and the worse teams better, and it's worked out that way. And when you lose a Colton and a Killorn and a Palat and the list...
And it could be Stamkos after the season is done. So
it's hard to keep the team together because guys are looking for more money, and there just isn't more money if you're going to keep everybody. So you have to let people go, and when you let people go, it takes a toll on the team. And we've seen this happen in any sport that has a salary cap. That's why baseball is the one sport without one, and you have the same powerful teams every year.
That's it. You hit it on the head. And when you think about it, guys, it really is amazing on how long the Lightning and the retooling that they did to win the back-to-back and then even go to the Stanley Cup again and then get in the playoffs. It really has been incredible.
Yeah, yeah. One thing that I keep hearing, and maybe you can set me straight on this, Rock, but I think I got it right. They've been saying that John Cooper has never been behind 3-0 in a series. And I distinctly remember losing to Columbus.
Yeah.
And they lost in 4 games.
Yeah, they were swept.
So I don't know why that keeps being reported that way, but it's not accurate.
No,
this is not the first time he's been down 3-0. So
And they got swept. I think I remember they also got swept in 2014 by Montreal, and that was his. That was the first time the Lightning made the postseason with him as their head coach, and they lost. They were swept in that one.
Want to talk some Bucks draft with you, Rock?
Yeah.
And I like the pick of going with a center. That seems to be a position they've had hard time keeping healthy.
Yeah, when we were there late on that first night, and GM Jason Light came out. And he told us, it was about 12:30 in the morning, and he said he and Todd Bowles had agreed last season, during the season, and it wasn't like the last couple of games. It was a little bit after the midway point where they said, we got to upgrade at center. They knew then. Look, Hainsey did all he could do with the size and the skill that he has. But a lot of times those defenders are coming right up the middle. He couldn't. So they had to upgrade. And this kid really is. What blew me away, we get him on Zoom after he gets picked. And then, of course, then they fly him back. And yesterday he was there in person. But very calm, very confident, very mature. It wasn't like this was too big for him. He's highly intelligent. He went to Duke. He's big on even, like, his nutrition. Everything is about football. He can't wait to get here. So I think, you know what, sometimes the trenches aren't a big excitement for your first pick at a center, but I think it's exactly what the Buccaneers needed.
I agree. I think, and you contrast that with the shock of the draft, what the Atlanta Falcons did, where it makes headlines, but wasn't necessarily the right move for them. You know, when they took Michael Penix, when they already had Kirk Cousins, you know, the Bucs have gotten a player and other players, hopefully, that can step in right away and make an impact. There were five of their rookies last year that stepped in immediately and make an impact, and that makes a difference in whether your team succeeds or does not.
In fact, Mario was saying a lot of people are shaking their heads on the Falcons picking and the Bills' decision to trade down multiple times that allowed Carolina and Kansas City to draft receivers.
Yeah, you know, we asked Jason Light, like, well, what was your thought? Because you said that you need a lot in a lot of different areas. Just like you said, Paul, that salary cap, it got to them the year before.
Right.
They had like $75 million in dead money. They couldn't do much. So you're exactly right. And they muddled through that. And they made the playoffs and they got a win. Now they're building it back again. You re-sign your Evans and Godwin and Baker Mayfield and Antoine Winfield Jr. Now you got to get these young guys to contribute. And he was saying they had five players that they wanted to go with in that first pick at 26. If any five of those weren't there, then they were going to accept offers, they were going to trade down, they were going to build. And this was one of the guys that was there. And it's funny, too, because I had asked him leading up to that, you go for best player available, or do you also got to go for need? And he's like, you always go for best player available. And now, after day one and after day two, it's like they went for what they really needed.
But it could have been the best player available at the need, which is great, because you fill both spots.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm. Yeah, very good, Rock. One more thing before we let you go, we just got a couple of minutes left. But the Rays disappointing last night, dropping that game to Chicago, and this Rays team just seems, the injuries has certainly been a factor, but they just don't seem like they're the Rays team of old.
No, you know what? And again, I'm trying to be this way, guys. Baseball is so long.
Yeah.
We haven't even hit May yet. So a lot can happen between now and towards, you know, in September. But the problem is the AL East right now is looking to be the best division in all of baseball. I don't see any of the – I don't see the Orioles, even the Jays, the Rays, the Red, you know, who's going to drop? So that's the thing. They can't afford to get too far behind here.
Right.
And Elfin, that was the only thing. Like, Elfin is supposed to be your number one guy. Is he really a number one guy? Not so sure about that. Look at Randy Arozarena. Like, he bulked up and he got a little bit bigger. And I'm like, I don't know. He finally hit a thing the other night.
Mm-hmm.
Then Yandy was their guy they're counting on. So I'm going to be – you guys were positive with the Lightning, so I'll be positive with the Rays. It's still early. Cash is tremendous. It's still early, guys.
All right. Well, Rock, thank you so much for taking time out. I know it's a busy day for you as well, keeping an eye on the draft and then the Lightning game going on as well. So we appreciate you taking time out to be with us this morning.
You got it, guys. Always enjoy it.
All right. Thanks again.
Rock.
Rock Riley, who he's a busy guy. He's covering the Lightning and the Bucks and the Rays, and he goes from one to the other. I think he was at the Lightning game and then went over to the Buccaneers draft after the Lightning game the other night. We will be back with hour number two. Stay right with us. Join us on the phone lines, 727-441-3000, 727-441-3000. More of the home team coming up on the TAN Talk Radio Network, AM 1340 and 1350, FM 106.1, 102.3, and Facebook
Live!
WTAN Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City.
FM 102.3.
Listen.